A scary story?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
No more hangers!
Snap out of it!
S-T-A-U-N-C-H. There's nothing worse, I'm telling you.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Hey, what's that, Frau? What a dump.
Thanks. I bought it at Versace.
Oh, hello there, and welcome to another episode of the No Good, Very Bad Gay Podcast, a podcast in which I, along with the help of very special guests, work through a catalog of queer movies that everyone continues to read me to filth for never seeing. I am your host, Nick Kachanov, and today on the Bad Gay Agenda, we are covering Xanadu. Xanadu tells the story of a muse named Kira, played by Olivia Newton-John, who meets a young, struggling artist named Sunny, played by the delicious Michael Beck, who may hold the key to his future and his happiness. Sunny eventually meets Danny McGuire, played by Gene Kelly, the retired jazz clarinetist who is stuck in the past, but also looking to open up a new club, but cannot find the right venue. Kira ultimately manifests Xanadu as the club is built and she falls deeper in love with Sunny. A well-known box office flop, the soundtrack album became a huge commercial success around the world, and eventually was adapted into a hit Broadway musical years later starring Carrie Butler and Cheyenne Jackson. And here to help further educate us all is the one and only Polly David.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
We're talking about Xanadu today. Are you excited?
I'm so excited. I hadn't watched it in a really, really long time. And watching it again just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I know we're going to get into it, but it is so insane.
It really is. I know. It's like I want to get into
it. I want to say everything about it at once, but I'm really appreciative that you have me on today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm in Los Angeles right now, where Polly is based. Have you lived here all your life?
Yeah, I was born here.
Oh, I didn't know that. For some reason, I thought you were a transplant.
Nope.
Yay, awesome. So I was here for DragCon. I think I mentioned a couple, or last episode, and met Polly officially at DragCon. We have been in touch because he listens to my other podcast, This Girlfriend's Cocktail.
Which
Hour.
I love.
I know, for those of you who don't listen to My Girlfriend's podcast, we do a lot of Miranda Sings impressions over there. So a lot of inflections have carried over to the fans, and of course, myself too, that I try to keep at bay, but they come out every once in a while.
They come out, and I mean, it's just part of our... That's part of our vernacular.
Yeah, exactly.
I love your other show, so I'm really excited to be on this
Super
show.
Sweet.
I love this show too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad to have you on. So, what do you do in LA, Polly? What are you up to these days?
I sleep and make out with my dogs, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a pretty good podcast before called Fruit Salad, which was really Broadway centric, and then we rebranded as Polly and Monks, which is me and my husband Ed, and we. We just left our station, so we're in limbo right now. We're building a studio in our house to podcast.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really, like, we're really fortunate to be able to do that. And so, in the interim, I've just been hosting stages and stuff, LGBT stages, beauty pageants, things like that. And I'm also writing, which is my one true love. So
I love that.
Yeah, I'm writing two movies.
Oh.
And it's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm loving life and having a good time and... Good old L.A.
Yeah, it's great. It's a little chilly in L.A. I talked about this on my other podcast. But
you need to come back in the summer.
Yeah, I think it's like on the verge of summer here, and I didn't bring any pants. I did bring a hoodie, thank goodness.
I know, it is a little weird that you're sitting here with no pants.
I know, yeah. well, shorts, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, Gian.
So I want to talk about what I knew about the podcast, or the podcast, the movie going into it. Mm-hmm. I did see the musical about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago.
Isn't it good?
It's good.
I love it.
It actually works so well.
It's much different.
It is. It is. And in the best way possible, because it knows what it is. It really leans into the camp. And it, what's cool about the production that I saw is that it was a watered down version as far as the cast.
Okay.
They only had, I think, 8 people in it. So they had, and it worked. It just like worked really well. It was a small space.
Do they do the thing where you some of the audience sits on the stage?
Yeah, the space that they performed in really lended itself to that. It was kind of, it's like a, I don't want to say a thrust. They had like a little stage and then they had a ramp going down into the audience. It was like, it's called the CLO Cabaret Dinner Theater sort of thing downtown in downtown Pittsburgh.
Do they have good food?
They do. It's not bad. It's like,
I need to get to Pittsburgh.
Yes, please come to Pittsburgh. I was just talking to someone about this yesterday too, that Pittsburgh is... someone said that Pittsburgh just reminds me of like Detroit or something like that. And I was like, no, I mean, I'm sure that Detroit is lovely as well too, but Pittsburgh is cool. Just plugging Pittsburgh for a moment. But
had you been to Los Angeles before?
No, I'd only been here on a family vacation with my friend Eric back in high school. And it was like a
shout out to Eric.
Hey Eric. he and his family, we were on our way to visit his sister. We did like a very quick, like Grauman's Chinese Theater. Look at the Hollywood sign.
Yeah. Bye. Well, I must say that where you're currently staying in downtown Los Angeles is not a representation of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Like, where I live is very suburban.
Oh, yeah.
Sprawled. Like, it's, you have to drive everywhere. Like, down here, it's concentrated kind of like San Francisco.
Yeah.
But what is Pittsburgh like that, or?
In a way, downtown, there's really, I don't want to say there's really not a lot to do downtown, but it is kind of the surrounding neighborhoods that are a little bit more up and coming and a little bit more hipsterish and a little bit more... what's the word? Gentrified, I would say. But there is stuff to do downtown. There's a lot of theater, a lot of arts. You wouldn't expect it because a lot of people just don't really look into Pittsburgh. And I guess for good reason, like no one's dying to get to Pittsburgh, but check it out.
But you never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you do a lot of shows there and you have a beautiful voice.
Yeah, oh, thank you. So I did see the musical. So I did know some of the plot, which does help too, because especially when I watched the movie too, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I saw the show. Just because there are some loose ends, because things jump so quickly.
I mean, this movie could have been called Loose Ends.
Yeah. I read, and this is kind of getting into a little bit of the history of the film, too, but that the script was written as they were doing
the movie.
As
they were doing it.
Which makes so much sense
it's
now.
It's so weird, because just when you think they're not, there's a crazy lack of cohesion, they all kind of tie, it all kind of ties together. And you're like, oh, but you're also kind of like, I wasn't expecting that. It's very strange.
Oh,
the whole movie blows my mind.
Yeah.
It makes me wish I smoked weed, which I don't.
Yes, I was just going
to
say.
Because I was like, oh, God, when I used to smoke weed, it would have been so fantastic.
Yes, or some sort of like hallucinogenic drug, especially like at the beginning. And then it kind of.
Maybe even just a cocktail.
Yeah, or a cocktail. Yes, there's always time for a cocktail.
I met Mrs. Kasha Davis this weekend.
I know, we both did. Yeah. It was so lovely. That's a. For those of you who don't know, a very popular drag queen who's sort of the patron saint for my other podcast.
Yeah, she hit on me.
Oh, did she?
I didn't follow up.
Okay. we'll keep you posted on that. So what else do we have here? So I knew about the musical. That's really all I knew.
So Xanadu the movie, this is just going to be in a quick nutshell. Xanadu the movie is kind of like the story between Kira, who's mm-hmm. a muse, and Sunny, who is her...
Immortal, I guess.
Yeah, who... She is his muse.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's meant to inspire. Yeah.
Right. So he's an artist. The musical kind of takes more of the Greek mythology like aspect of it and talks about her a little more and her sisters. It's still a love story.
It does, yeah. It sets it up a little better.
And it's really... Because Xanadu... I don't know if it was meant to be kind of like a parody, but Xanadu the musical is more of a parody of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. I love both. So
yeah, it is really good. When was the first time you saw Xanadu? Was it something that you like grew up with, or like I don't? Did someone just say like you need to watch this?
Probably. I was thinking about this question because I don't know the first time. So for starters, Olivia Newton-John was my first crush of all time. Yeah, I interviewed her once, and I got to tell her that. Like, she was my first gay boy crush, and then it was like, you know, whoever, Alyssa Milano and Cyndi Lauper and Madonna and all those people.
Yeah.
And then men.
exactly.
So she was my first crush. So, you know, Grease was amazing.
Of course.
And then I wouldn't see Grease 2 for a really long time because she wasn't in it.
I know, it's true. Michelle and Pfeiffer.
Oh my God, I love Grease 2. Mm-hmm. And so I probably saw Xanadu around that time. Mm-hmm. So as I became a little older, it definitely became a cult classic for me.
Yeah.
Along the lines of a lot of movies that you're doing on the, you know, No Good, Very Bad Gay podcast.
Yeah, you have to think about it. I think I was telling someone about it and I was like, I really have to think about the title sometimes because it is a lot of words, but that book is so familiar, like as a child too. You were talking about that it's become a cult classic, and this was I'm sure they're obviously, it's going to be in the description on like IMDb, but one of the things in the IMDb trivia was like, this is, I think if I can find, oh, it says, though the film originally flopped, it has since achieved cult status and is quite popular with gay audiences, which is just like,
I know. And perfect. Why do you think it is? Because it's so like fantastical.
I think so. It is. There's certainly fantasy involved too. But one, I will say this too, and I'm sure you have some things to say about it too. But the soundtrack is so good.
So good.
It's really good.
It's Olivia.
The music is great.
For starters. Yeah. And then ELO. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's really, really good.
It's a lot of fun. And like, just the, like, it was the 80s. There was roller skates. I don't know. I mean,
those costumes, skates, flash, like lights and,
the grandiosity of that, like, last
weird
number.
Weird special effects.
Yeah.
The last number, which we'll get to later, but, like, the last number that makes no sense, but makes all the, like, it's perfect.
Yes.
It's so perfect.
It's what we want. It's what I was wanting.
Montages. You
know, yeah. Before I was even there, I knew that there had to be some sort of big, like, 12-minute, like, closing number for the movie.
Oh, God. And there is. And it is genius. Oh, but I did have a Xanadu party once.
Oh, love
it. So I had people over to watch Xanadu, mm-hmm. and they all had to dress Xanadu-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had, like, a shrine to roller skates, like, an altar and stuff like that. And it was really fun. It was really fun. The gays came out.
I'm sure. Yeah, it does seem like a good themed party idea for sure. I think that that would definitely lend itself. And for those reasons, too, I mean, I don't know if there is like a, you know, if we were to kind of really dive deep into, you know, the queerness of this movie too, but it's just, I think it is just that fantasy that, that a lot of queer people like to tap into and just engage within that, I guess. But
it's fabulous.
It's fabulous.
Her costumes are flowy and fabulous. And then she, I mean, I don't know how many costumes she wears throughout the movie, but toward the end, she does a crazy montage.
Oh my God.
And the boy is hot. The boy is such a cutie.
Ooh, he's so hot.
So Gene Kelly's in it. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so much good stuff. Plus you get the music. I mean, like we just talked about. So I just want to preface that while I was watching this movie, I just did like a kind of like a Katya, like stream of consciousness thing.
Oh, I love
so
it.
I wrote down what the scene was, but then I was like, I'm jealous of everyone's hair. Like, what is happening here?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Those are the kind of notes I live for. So as far as like other history of the film and like trivia, like I did read that Gene Kelly only took this role because it was close to his house, which I kind of love. This is the final film of Gene Kelly.
Okay, so here's where I'm confused, because this is what I was looking up before, right before we went on the air. Uh-huh. I heard it was the final film, but then I also read that it was the final film where he sang and danced.
Ooh, okay.
So I think it is that one, because that he did a couple other ones. It was Olivia's last musical until 2010,
mm-hmm.
when she did Score, a hockey musical.
Whoa.
That's my favorite fact about
Is that
the
a movie.
Movie
musical? We don't know too much about
it. I don't know anything about that movie.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't.
That needs to be resurrected somehow.
I do know that when Gene Kelly shot the scene, it was he only allowed him, Olivia, like a cameraman and the director.
Yeah.
Very, very few
Bare
people.
Bare bones, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. It famously received a one-sentence review. In a word, Xana Don't, which is like an off-Broadway musical. It's do you know that? Yeah,
yeah.
Basically,
Jay Rodriguez was in it.
Yeah, it's a great it's a great idea. I mean, it's a shame that that didn't maybe go a little bit further. But I don't really know that show. But basically, the structure of that show is that they live in a world where being gay or being queer is the norm, and being straight is the taboo sort of lifestyle, or however you want to say that. Which is an interesting theory. I would love to see that sort of played out. It's a good idea, but I don't know how well that did.
I'd like to see that resurrected, because I've never seen it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever heard any sort of music from it. I definitely have to dig in.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? The soundtrack, like we said before, was an enormous success. Magic went to number one on the U.S. pop singles charts, and in the U.K., the soundtrack album peaked at number two.
Isn't that song good?
I love it so much.
I love that song so much.
Yeah, this is something that I would definitely go back and listen to, because I want to. It reminds me a little bit of like ABBA. It's ABBA-esque, I would say. A lot of like
a lot of
progressions and just like the general sound and the production value of it too. Yeah,
100%. And that's where they said that. That's actually in my notes, that a few of these songs, the Olivia ones and the ELO ones, are very ABBA-esque.
Yeah, they are
very, very. I can hear that. I could hear them singing it.
Yes, and I think maybe in a way too, as far as like that queer sort of spin on it too, that queer people being drawn. Obviously, a lot of gay people are attracted to ABBA, and this is, like, very similar. My mom, like, was obsessed with this soundtrack. I remember very specifically, she rented it one random day, and she just, like, watched it at home by herself, too. But I didn't watch it with her. I should have. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't remember, but she loves a lot of that.
That would be an event to watch this with your mom.
I know. It'd be so fun. I told her I was doing it. Hey, Mom. I told her I was doing an episode on Xanadu. She's like, oh.
Oh, I remember that soundtrack.
Yeah. I just, like, Skype her in.
It also helped launch the career of Kenny Ortega, who is a master choreographer.
Oh, yeah.
Newsies. He did Dirty Dancing, Newsies, the High School Musical movies. He did Michael Jackson. I think he was doing This Is It, the final concert. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I believe, I mean, I don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
I'm committing to it.
Yeah,
he did
commit to it.
I'm committing. But he's a master choreographer, so it helped launch his career as well. So there are a lot of, like, big names that were associated with this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree, too. And even, like, I would never thought I would see Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John on the same screen together. It doesn't quite... I don't want to say it doesn't work, but at the same time, I was just like, oh, I was so shocked to see him in this.
I am so in. I'm so loving it. Mm-hmm. Olivia Newton-John, her dancing was incredible.
It
and
was
she
good.
Said she's not a dancer, but
yeah,
like,
tap.
She was tap dancing. She was holding her own for sure.
Yeah, come on, tap dancing.
Come on, tap dance. And then the exteriors were shot at Pan Pacific Auditorium, which is actually right down the street from where we are right now.
Oh, no way.
And it burned down in 1989. But if you guys, what I'm talking about, if you've seen the movie, are the kind of teal, like dark teal Art Deco spires.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was the Pan Pacific Auditorium. I don't believe that there are any of the spires left. There might be one. It was completely burned down, partially burned down in 1989, completely burned down in 1997.
Yeah.
But now the facade of Disney's California Adventure is the front of the Pan Pacific Auditorium.
Oh, I love that then.
Yeah. I know we're going to Disneyland today. I was going to surprise you, but we got to tell it on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
a
nod to Los Angeles history. Actually, one of the things I really love about this movie, you know, as a Los Angeles native, is that this movie really is a love letter to Los Angeles because they've used so many landmarks. They're on the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah.
There's the Pan Pacific Auditorium. Mm-hmm. There's a Hollywood sign. There's the Bonaventure Hotel, which is basically next door to where we are right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's one thing I really love. I love Los Angeles. I love the history of Los Angeles. And when I see it in movies, I'm like, oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It's also, those checkpoints.
Really
love
fun.
That.
Yeah.
Did you have any more tidbits to share? And we can kind of sprinkle them out throughout as we kind of go through the movie here.
No, let's go through the movie.
Let's start this. Okay, so we open on Sunny doing some art.
Well,
quote unquote.
First, we open with a man playing a clarinet
on
the beach.
True.
And we have no idea what happened. Like, why?
And the reason why I didn't write that note down is because I didn't think that it would play in anything. I was just like,
okay.
Man playing clarinet.
Just a clarinet. So that's what I'm saying. So the way I wrote my notes was, by the way, it's like 25 minutes until you hear anybody's name in this movie.
Oh, interesting.
So my notes are like, there's a man playing clarinet. There's an artist.
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John is roller skating. Like, I do that until they say their names, which I'll tell you more about later. The name thing is very weird in this movie.
Okay.
But for the first, I'd say, 20 minutes, you also don't know how these things go together. You don't know why there's a clarinet, man on the clarinet on the beach. Okay, anyway, sorry.
No, that's fine. I think that, was it before or after? Okay, so Sonny's doing art, so he's establishing, obviously, himself as an artist. A very good artist, I must say.
Using literally every medium, right? And he's, like, super frustrated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like...
why am I so good?
Why am I so good? Why am I ambidextrous?
Yeah.
He's, like, painting with both hands. He's painting, he's sketching. He's,
charcoals, pencil...
But he's frustrated with all of these beautiful art he's doing. He keeps crumbling it up and throwing it away. He tears it all up.
Yeah.
Throws it out the window.
And it floats to this painting of the muses, which is how the musical quote sort of opens up too. Like, they're all kind of just like frozen in time. And then there's this like fantasy sequence where it's just...
It's so good. So the he tears up this sketch and... The wind takes it and it sprinkles over this mural. And it's painted of like the muses, like nine women. But the way they come to life is so funny to me.
Oh, it's so great.
So they come out of the painting.
Yeah.
But they're like, I wish everyone could see it. They're like very limber. For having been in a mural for so long, like they didn't even stretch.
All dancers.
They're like super limber and they're like just moving their heads and their arms and their legs go over their head. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Olivia at this point only does some weird eye moves, but she doesn't really do like
any dancing.
The hands.
That is like iconic. I was cracking up because everyone's kind of, like you said, they're just like really showing their like, they're all obviously dancers.
Yeah.
Like, trained, you know, dancers. And then Olivia just like stares.
She's
just
like,
a good gift.
Have to believe.
Yeah.
It's so good. So good. Oh my God.
And they all sort of go out into the aura.
Like they have this like glow, or outline glow around them, so you know that they're not one of us.
That's true. So we do know they are of a different world, I would say.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of go off in different places. Like that's, I mean, compared to the musical where like the two, like it's like the two muses that kind of stick with her and kind of narrate and further the plot along. The rest of the sisters are like, bye, and they just fly away.
They peace out, and they're like just going in very different directions, like the beach, the Hollywood sign, like, and you have no idea where they're going. They vanish into thin air.
Yeah.
And then Olivia is skating on a boardwalk. The artist happens to be there, probably upset about being a terrible artist, which he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
And she kisses him.
She bumps into him first.
She bumps into him, that's right.
She bumps into him and then just turns around, and I was just like, ah! I was like, what? And he was not in, and then she zooms off in this like sort of like this trail of like neon, I don't even know what you would call it.
Brilliance. They have the same hair.
They do.
Yeah, but hers is better.
His beautiful hair, yeah.
His beautiful hair. I mean, that never happens to me on the Santa Monica Boardwalk. Yeah, it's always some old dude. Blech.
But not
Aegis. I love old dudes, but it's not the ones on the pier aren't the ones I want to kiss.
That's right. And all he says is like, wow. He doesn't say like, what the fuck was that? Or just like...
He's
just
alarmingly not alarmed.
Yeah. That's the perfect way to say that. Yeah.
If someone just came and kissed you, you'd be like, huh? Yes. But she is seriously gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. She could kiss me every day.
I do love the song playing during this. Is it called I'm Alive?
I'm alive. Yeah, it's ELO, I'm Alive.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's really good. That's really one of the ones where it's like ABBA could have definitely...
Yeah. Oh,
but
yes.
ELO does it justice.
Yeah.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Yes.
So good. And then, so Sonny goes into where he works, which is called the Airflow Studios.
Yes.
And he's driving a Woody, like the old, that old classic car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So he goes in the studio and there are people painting these large paintings, which we find out are album covers.
Yeah.
So back in the day for younger listeners,
I was just going to say,
an album is
oh, yeah, right.
Music on vinyl. But growing up, like I'm a little older, so... Mm-hmm. At Tower Records, there used to be a place called Tower Records or the Warehouse or whatever, Virgin Mega Store. They had really big paintings of your favorite album covers.
Oh, so this was a thing.
So this was definitely a thing. I used to like wait at midnight at Tower Records for the Michael Jackson and Madonna records to come out. And they'd have big paintings of them. So this was actually a thing. There's a crazy continuity error here. I don't know if you caught it.
What is it?
So Sonny comes in and this guy's painting his painting and it's like half done, like barely even half done.
Mm.
Sonny goes across the room and they pan back to the guy. It's completely finished. I was so excited because I never catch that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to rewind it like three times. Like, oh my God, I caught something.
Yeah.
It was great.
I love that.
Yeah.
So this dynamic within his workplace is so on the surface. They're like, whoa, look who decided to show up today.
And Michelangelo.
He's like, shut up, guys. Yeah. It's so just like on the surface of like, he doesn't really... I guess he just, like, doesn't show up. He doesn't do... But they know he's talented.
And he's the fastest one.
He's the fastest one,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah, so he is an asset, but, like, everyone is just kind of shady to him. And then his boss is, like, super shady as well, too.
Yeah, his boss is, like, that old 80s, rawr, that curmudgeon, like, crazy boss that they always portray.
As,
like the boss from 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, 9 to 5. That's a good one for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's on my list.
So Sonny tells them... So Sonny complains about his job. He hates his art. He complains that he has no money, but he drives a classic car. Can't he just sell that?
Right.
Yeah. Kind of how I feel. Do you watch Schitt's Creek?
No, I don't.
Kind of how I feel about Moira. She has like this crazy, beautiful wardrobe.
That she could just
sell. It, girl.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I guess, is this where he has, his boss hands him a new project?
Yes.
Kira is on the cover.
Yes, Olivia Newton-John.
Still don't
know
her name. Yeah, still don't know Kira's name.
Yeah, I know. I have Olivia.
Yeah, I wrote Kira just for the sake of it.
So it's Olivia, like she has an aura, a radioactive aura around her in front of the Pan Pacific.
Yeah,
I love that album cover.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and he's like, "Who is this? Who is this girl? I need to know her name." So he goes around town. And he's like, "Yeah," he just leaves.
He does.
Like that's why they're like, "Oh, you're here again."
Yeah.
So. He goes around town, like, asking the hot dog vendor, like, random people.
Oh, so funny.
And then he goes, like, do you know this girl? And then he goes to the photographer, and the photographer's like, I don't know. I just come over here. I have a secret for you.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. She just appeared, and then she disappeared, but I liked it, so I used it.
Yeah, just, you know, this is normal. You don't even remember her being there because she probably whizzed by.
She just whizzed by. She didn't, he took 100 shots, and there was this. She was in one of them. He liked it, so he used it. He didn't even get a photo release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the beach, right? That's where he finds Gene Kelly playing clarinet on a rock. He's like, what are you doing up there, you crazy guy? And it's this conversation is so... The chemistry is just like... Well, it's probably the script, too, as well, too. You can't really make bad lines good, no matter how hard you try. Some people.
I mean, there are some lines in this movie that are just my... Like, they're so good.
Yeah.
So he just talks to this random guy, Gene Kelly, who we find out was the guy playing the clarinet in the beginning of the movie.
So we connected that.
And they become, like, super fast friends.
Too fast. Yeah. Super chummy, I would say, almost immediately. I was like, all right, I mean, this is what's happening now, so let's just go with it.
I mean, yeah.
They have a cup of coffee, right? Oh, no.
Yeah, later they do. Yeah, so later. They're like, oh, hey, clarinet. Hey, hot guy. Blah, blah, blah. This is where I really was like, oh, Sonny's really cute at this point.
Yes.
He's really cute. I like a big nose.
Yeah, I like a nose, too.
Big hose. Just kidding. Right.
Hashtag. Michael Beck?
Yes, Michael Beck.
Him and I have the same birthday.
Mm.
And it's interesting because every time my birthday comes up, there's not a lot of, like, I shouldn't say cool people or cool celebrities. I go on IMDb, like, every year my birthday just to see who's there. But now I have him, which is cool. So, February 4th.
You and
Aquarius.
Sunny.
I know. Sunny. Me and Michael.
Love it.
So
at this point, Sunny sees Olivia skate by.
Yes.
She skates like really fast by him. And then he like runs to these two women, who are muses, by the way.
Oh.
And he's like, can I take this bike? So he takes this like little motor scooter bike. Yeah. And he follows. He's like chasing Olivia. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and he's like, hey. And she's not turning around. So at this point, I'm like, dude, you got to get the hint. I know she kissed you, but she doesn't want anything to do with you. He's really aggressive. And then he's so focused on her that he doesn't realize where he's headed. And he goes off the pier, breaks the wood fence, and he goes right into the ocean.
Go.
Oh, so, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe it's what you're about to say, that Gene Kelly is suddenly there. You know, like, this guy, like, goes on a moped, whatever you want to call it.
Away from Gene Kelly, probably at least
10 minutes
with.
Away, or at least 5 minutes away on that vehicle. And then all of a sudden, Gene Kelly is like, whoa, look what you did, crazy guy.
And not only is Gene Kelly there, but no one's, like, helping him. They're all laughing at
him. Oh, they are.
They're not like, someone just fell in the pier. They're all laughing. And then Olivia is, like, in a weird boat. Somewhere off the thing, also laughing at him, and then she disappears into thin air.
She shoots up into like a rainbow. Not really, just smiling.
It's so good. Oh, it's so They're amazing. All laughing and carrying on as if someone didn't just fall into the ocean.
Yeah.
What the fuck? So then Wet Sunny just joins Gene Kelly for a cup of coffee.
Let's go get a cup of coffee.
All right. And then when Sunny gets there, his jacket is dry, but whatever.
So Sunny's friend Al, oh my God. Drives him on skates.
This is the best scene.
So to kind of paint this picture for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, he basically gets a ride. He is in roller skates. Suddenly, he just has them. Holds onto the back of this van. He's like, I need to go to this place. But how does he know where to go? Yeah.
I have the dialogue
here. Oh, please.
Okay, so Sunny sees this like really beautifully decorated van driven by someone who's a friend of him. Sunny goes up to the guy. He's like, where are you going? And the guy goes, east. Oh, no, sorry. The guy asks Sunny, where are you going? Sunny goes, east. Mm-hmm. And then the guy goes, I'm going west, but I'll give you a ride.
Totally so convenient.
Sunny doesn't get into the van. He holds on to the back of the van for
an
undisclosed amount of time on roller skates and ends up at the abandoned warehouse, which...
How does he know where... I guess he knows where that place is because the photographer said this is where I shot, if we were to kind of...
He knows where it is, but he never told the guy where it is.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And how can he tell him if he's on the back of the van?
He's just, like, yelling
to
him.
I'm, like, trying to make this logical, and it's not...
No, don't make it logical. Don't think Xanadu. Too
hard. Yeah.
Xanadu. So he kind of looks around. He's at the Art Deco beautiful building.
Oh, yeah. Now, really
and he looks around the exterior of the building, and he hears music coming from an open door.
Yeah.
And the song is Magic by Olivia... Newton the John.
Yes. To the John.
Come take my hand. Oh, it's so
good. It's beautiful. And they have some, like, playful banter, because she appears out of nowhere, of course, skating around these boxes.
But he's in full stalker mode at this point.
He is, yeah.
Because he's, like, lurking in the shadows, yep. And then she's, like, skating around this warehouse.
Yeah.
And the dialogue goes like this.
Please.
He goes, after stalking her for a while, he goes, "You." And she goes, "Me." That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And then, also not sure. She's like, "Me."
And then she just keeps going. Bye. But then he's like very inquisitive. Like he does ask her questions, but then she's like very vague.
Of course.
So like, okay, I'll be her.
Yeah, please.
You be him. Go ahead. Just say anything.
You're Olivia.
Yeah.
I was like, do you live near here?
Sometimes.
What's your name?
My name is the one that my parents gave me.
That's like the conversation later. Yeah.
Like this is the kind of conversations they're having.
She's like a skillfully like she's like a master.
She's
like,
a master. Yeah. Oh, I love it. But she knows his name.
She does.
She knows his name. And he's like, "How did you know my name? What's your name?" And then she goes, "Kira, Kira, Kira, Kira." Yes. So good. So that's the first time we find out her name.
Okay.
Kira.
Wow, that's like really far into the movie.
Well into the movie. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so after that, where do we go from there? So
Sonny's at work again, and he's very temperamental with his boss.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know who's stalking who now. Like, is it Kira or is it Sonny? I'm always on the side of women, so I'm going with Sonny.
Sure, absolutely.
But she did kiss him.
Like, she did?
Out of nowhere.
She started it.
Yeah. I'm going to do that to someone today at Disneyland.
Oh, please.
I'm going to bump into them and just be like, kiss
them.
I'll just
push you with roller skates.
Actually, see if they have the same reaction that Sonny had.
Yes. Oh, God.
So then Sonny's hanging his album cover at the Platinum Palace record store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this where he meets with Danny McGuire again?
Yeah. So Gene Kelly just happens to walk out.
That's
like,
right.
These meetings aren't coincidental, obviously, because Gene Kelly is everywhere, literally within seconds.
Yeah. I thought for a moment that he was like someone magical as well, too. He does have that aura about him, but he is just a regular mortal as well.
Like, I mean, but these meetings aren't coincidental. Oh,
yeah, right?
Oh.
So their banter is kind of weird. Danny takes him, Sonny, to his house. They listen to Glenn Miller. The house is gorgeous.
The house is like Versailles.
Yeah, it really is.
The house
is
basically like Versailles.
And then he says like something about, like, I remember when on The Rock at the beginning, he's like, "Oh, I just play music." And he's like, "I'm kind of a bum," or something like that. I was just like, you're clearly not. Obviously,
he's like an eccentric, weird old man. That's you want to like love him, but then you kind of put him in context and you're like, you're playing the clarinet and he gets weirder in a little bit. But
I'm sure.
Well, you saw it. Yeah. I mean, he's talking to himself and like dancing and it's great.
Yeah.
The house is beautiful.
Yeah.
And Sonny starts looking through stuff.
Yes. They find that Danny was the clarinetist on one of the recordings. They drop a couple names.
Of the Glenn Miller recordings.
Yeah, absolutely. So Danny talks about his past and a girl on the album. So explain this to me, and maybe this is just part of the Xanadu experience. So he fell in love, I would say, with Kira back in the day, because they have, but then when he finally meets Kira in real life again, when, you know, like present day, he doesn't recognize
her. So Danny is, now we found out finally his name. Danny is Gene Kelly.
Yes.
So when Sonny goes back to Danny's house, they're listening to Glenn Miller. We find out Sonny played clarinet on Glenn Miller albums, and then Sonny starts going through like these photo books and he sees a picture of Olivia named John. And he's like, "Who is this? I know this girl, blah, blah, blah." And then they kind of just like gloss over it. And then they go into another room where we find out that Danny used to own a club where he fell in love with a singer who he left. And then once his heart went out of the music, he went into construction. But
as you do.
But he loved to open another club. He just cannot find a space.
He can't find a venue. So he decides to, Sonny, why don't you help me find a place? You're an artist. You're totally qualified. Excuse me.
I met you 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Let's be business partners. You can have all this.
Oh my gosh. It is.
And then we go into like this really cool scene.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
it's a little long, but so Danny, who's Gene Kelly, Danny's such a like not an old man name.
It's not. Yeah. So it used to be like Lewis.
And
or
also
something.
Like I get like Danny Zuko.
Oh, that's
right. You know what I mean? So
leading
Danny,
man.
Okay. So Danny is like reflecting and talking to himself in the mirror. He also talks to the record player and he talks to somebody we don't see.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure he's going crazy at this point. So. He does a duet with Olivia, who he's daydreaming about while playing the invisible clarinet, and he starts dancing and she appears. They both become like translucent, and then they become opaque, and then they dance. It's a really cool scene. I really love watching Gene Kelly dance. So it's
just a vehicle to kind of give him his moment, which everyone kind of wants. That's what you
I wanted
would
it.
Expect.
I least. Loved yeah. it. So he, like, eventually we find out that he's been daydreaming, and he just sits down on one of his chairs, and he's really happy.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. This song is really cute, though. It's like this 1940s sort of like Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy era, sort of. And then the song, is it You'll Never Be Far Away? That's what I wrote, because that's what I kept hearing.
Like, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. I'm not sure.
It's cute. It's like, it's a tap number. And Olivia's, like we said before, she's holding her own.
She's holding
she
her
really
own.
She really is.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
tap. Also, this is like a little IMDb sort of tidbit. This number was nearly identical to the choreography in the title number for Me and My Gal, which came out in 1942, which starred Gene Kelly and Judy Garland.
Oh,
which I've not seen.
I haven't either. Did Gene Kelly choreograph this scene?
I think he did. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm gonna make a commitment to that. Yeah.
Look at us. You know.
Just making up facts.
Experts on Xanadu. Oh, he totally did. Yeah, he did.
Right? So back at the studio, Sunny is putting in some OT, and Kira, like, scares the shit out of him because she just comes out of nowhere.
Right, and then she just, like, starts talking normal conversation at this point. Like, she's been, like, real, like, woo-woo, and then all of a sudden she's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. They start having normal conversations about art and about Danny, and she recommends the abandoned, beautiful warehouse as the venue for Danny's new club.
Of course.
Yeah. Sunny is like, that's a dump. And then he's like, let's go somewhere.
But there's an aura about it, she says. But there's like an aura about that. And then that's his selling point to Danny a little bit later, we're going to get to. But
yes.
So he's like, let's get out of here. And she's like, okay. She's I love like, how she sure. talks. Yeah, she's like air. She's just like light and breathy and beautiful.
She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So he takes her to the studio. They're both suddenly on skates.
Suddenly.
Oh, yes.
And then they skate to the song Suddenly.
Yeah, and they sing this, like, love song suddenly on this, like, fake rooftop, and it kind of goes, these palm trees pop out.
It goes really haywire. Yeah. So this studio just becomes a set, and, like, moving from set to set, it becomes a rooftop.
Yes.
It becomes, like...
an oasis with palm trees that sort of become
and a wind
erect.
Machine.
Yeah.
I need a date like this. I want to go on a date like this.
It sounds so expensive. Like, if I was... Sonny's boss, which eventually he does come in.
Yeah.
And like flips his shit. Like, obviously.
They're in a fucking thunderstorm.
Yeah. Oh, like, my God. The
and
rain.
They, oh, and they produce umbrellas just out of nowhere.
Yeah. They just kind
nowhere.
Of pop out of nowhere.
This is the first time, like, and it's in my notes, like, I wish I smoked weed, because I was like, what? Like, what's going on? Yeah. This is amazing. So then they almost kiss.
They
and
do.
And Sonny's boss is like, what are you doing in here?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So they run out. They walk the mean streets of L.A.
Yeah.
And they go to the abandoned auditorium.
They do.
It's great.
And, I mean, there's not much at the abandoned auditorium, right? They get there, and maybe that's where they said there's an aura about it. Like, I just feel like this is the right place.
It's a feeling.
A feeling, yes.
Xanadu. I need to start using Xanadu as an adjective.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. too.
It's so just, there's no other, it's Xanadu.
It's so Xanadu.
It's so Xanadu.
So the next day, Sunny brings Danny to the abandoned auditorium. He said, it just might work. And then there's
but Danny's like, this old place like the Titanic.
Yeah.
But then within 20 seconds, he can see it all.
Yeah. He's like, you know what?
You know what, kid? Yeah, I got a point there. Business partners for life.
Yeah. So then they have this sort of like Jets versus Sharks like montage moment. Like he pictures the 1940s like bandstand. Sunny pictures like the 80s rock. And then they both kind of combine in one big number at the end. But if there's any, like, what's happening here?
Okay, like, first of all, this is the crazy, this to me is like the craziest, one of the craziest scenes. Mm-hmm. I get it. Danny has a different vibe for, a different idea for the vibe of the club. Sunny has a different vibe for the club. And then, so Danny like envisions it. And he sees the 40s, and then Sonny envisions it, and he sees, like, this crazy, like, 80s weird... Okay, so so then there's back and forth. There's a bunch of dancers dancing 40s style. It's really classy and fun. Then they pan over, and it's, like, 80s craziness. They all look like assholes. Like, they're, like... It's a cross between, like, Knight Rider, but then, like, Love is a Battlefield, kind of dirty dancing. They all look really stupid, the 80s people.
Yeah.
And then they keep going back and forth, and then a battle of eras ensues.
Yeah.
The 80s is really weird and silly, but it's fun. The lead singer in the 80s one is Fee Waybill from The Tubes, which is kind of a cool little thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. at one point in the 80s one, a band member ties up a woman to the speaker.
Whoa.
With cords. It's really weird. I checked out. Like, I just totally checked out of this scene, like, 4 minutes in. I went back. This scene lasts 6 minutes and 53 seconds.
It's a long sequence. It really is.
It's too long.
Yeah,
it's really too long. We got the point after the first Jets and Sharks. And then the two eras mingle, and we're combined. All just one.
I think on paper it sounds kind of cool, but I don't know if they ever quite got there. I'm team 1940s in this montage.
Same.
I thought that was, like, the more interesting sort of era for me, and maybe the one that was a little bit more well done.
Yeah. It was just a little classier, and also, like, so the manic. 80s were cool, but it was, like, that was a really manic interpretation of the 80s, and that scene was 7 minutes long. I didn't need all that.
Yeah.
So Danny decides he's going to open the club and make Sonny his equal partner one day into knowing each other. Danny thinks it's too dark in there, so Sonny goes to get a flashlight from his car to light up a huge auditorium.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they say, what should they call it? And then Kira comes in.
Yeah, Danny's contemplating what to call the club, and Kira walks in and says, "In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree." And Danny responds, "Where Alf, the sacred river ran through caverns measureless to a man." And then in unison, they both say, "Down to a sunless sea, down to a sunless sea." And then Danny says, "Yes, Xanadu." I feel like your co-host Amanda right now, how she always writes the things.
Yeah, oh yeah, no.
That is the craziest scene ever.
To make it known.
That's the craziest thing. So out of all that, they got the word Xanadu. Kira introduces herself to Danny, and he knows her from somewhere. Maybe because he runs into the same people all the time.
And she looks exactly the same.
Gorgeous. She says they don't know each other. She's not wearing roller skates anymore.
Oh,
she's
I didn't even notice. Heels,
also wearing leg warmers.
Okay.
It's really great. I do find it weird that Sunny... At this point, they've known each other for, I don't know, a couple days, but she hasn't changed her clothing. Sunny has never questioned that.
Yeah, until this next scene. But before we get to there...
Really quick, though. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is a really funny scene where Kira, Danny, and Sunny are all standing together, and they each say Xanadu. Like
Xanadu.
They're like, Xanadu. 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 Yeah, and then it cut.
It's a hard cut.
It's a
hard cut to, like, Sunny at work the next day.
It's so
And
good.
He desires, I was going to say fire. He decides to fire himself.
Yes.
In a very clever way, or at least he thinks so. And he calls his boss down and just, like, acts as if he was the boss firing himself. It's sort of backwards, but kind of cheeky and funny at the same time, too. And he decides he's done. I don't need this anymore. I'm going to be a partner. And everyone's like, what?
He's like, by the way, you're all invited to opening night with everything on the house.
Yeah.
Everyone's super confused. And then cut to Sunny and Kira are having champagne and margarita glasses at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
They're at the Hollywood Bowl. Another LA thing, which I love. But like, how did he get like
hard
what?
Cuts? Yeah.
Hard cuts. Sunny tries to kiss Kira, and he finally starts asking what the fuck is up with her. Like, girl, I need some answers.
I don't know anything about
She's still playing the weird version of Who's On First.
Yes, like, you know, she really is.
It's like a less witty version. She says she lives with her sisters, and he's like, where? And she's like, the second floor.
Yeah, I want to, like, answer that. Like, anytime someone asks me where do I live, I'd be like, with my sisters in an apartment on the second floor, and see if they get the reference. I would love that.
He's like, what's your last name? She's like, the same as my father's and my mother's.
Yeah.
It's so good. So,
this is where
it blows my mind. This is where the movie goes just completely off the rails.
Yeah, I just, like, stopped taking notes and just, like, had to, like, take
it
in.
You had to watch.
I had to take a moment. So, he kisses her, and they become a cartoon.
This movie's fucking awesome.
It's like a Tinkerbell.
Am I allowed to say awesome?
Yeah. It's like a Tinkerbell, Prince Eric, Ferngully fantasy.
It's so crazy and beautiful. The song is good.
The song is great.
Another great song.
It is a good song.
And then after this animated sequence, construction begins on Xanadu.
Yes.
The club. Sonny and Danny have Dom Perignon and plastic flutes.
I did see that. Yeah. Champagne with the contractors.
And... Kira arrives in a new dress.
Yes.
It's an aqua version of her signature dress. Yeah. And she's still wearing heels with leg warmers.
And then we have the shopping montage because Gene Kelly, but Danny needs some more glitz for the opening night.
So, yeah, Kira tells Danny that if he's going to dance at the grand opening, he needs more glitz. He asks where to get glitz, and then Kira and Sunny simultaneously, he says, "Where do I get glitz, kids?" At the same time, they say, this is my favorite line ever. Simultaneously, they say, "At a franchised glitz dealer."
AKA the homosexuals.
A franchise glitz dealer. Oh my god. So I think the franchise glitz dealer in the movie might be the Hollywood Museum.
Okay.
It looks like it looks like that.
Okay.
But there are live mannequins in display. In the display, it's so cool. It appears that Isaac from the Love Boat is guarding the door.
Love
it. It's so good. And then it's a I love a movie montage.
Me too.
It's
like my especially favorite makeover thing. Montage.
So it's a movie montage. Gene Kelly's trying on glitzy clothes from the franchise glitz dealer. We're in like Xanadu. We are in Xanadu at this point.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can't turn back. Gene Kelly is dancing and like growling. I'm gooped and gagged.
A lot of costumes that he had to try on too. I was thinking, I was like, God, he had to try on so many things. But it seemed like he was having a good time, I'd say. And the song is all over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so
by
good.
Electric Light Orchestra. Really good song. Let's listen to the soundtrack later.
Definitely should.
It's really good. Sunny and Kira are like slow dancing in the glitz franchise dealer, and then Danny smiles at them, and then all of a sudden they're in front of Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
The club. Hard cuts, girl.
Hard cuts. There's like a pink car montage. Oh, that was going. But I wanted to mention too, there are a ton of dancers, and then this leopard moment. I wanted to talk about the costumes. The costumes are really great during all of this, and it is crazy.
The costumes are beautiful.
Yeah, and suddenly Danny's like in a pinball machine. And like we said, the montage ends with Sunny and Kira in front of the Xanadu.
But like, not only are the costumes beautiful in this scene, they're it's really fantastic the way they do different things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a lot of, I don't know if there are any special effects in this part. It's a lot of great dancing. They're all in different, it's always a different set.
Mm-hmm.
The way they do things is cool. Like the shots are really cool. Like that one shot of like Bibi Zahara Benet coming through the legs.
I know. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Leopard fantasy.
Yeah, it's a leopard fantasy. It's really cool. And it's this is the scene I could probably watch multiple times.
It's fun.
Out of the whole movie.
It's a good time.
And, yeah, it's a good time.
And you mentioned the special effects too. One of the things that I
there is one part mention. Of special effects.
Oh yeah. Oh no, not even that, but I think it's worth mentioning the sound effects in this movie that are so weird and like Space Odyssey, like just all those like sort of things that happened at the beginning, and just but like also randomly, like it's sometimes like a segue into like another scene. They'll just have like pew pew pew. It's I love it.
So
I love
good.
It so much.
Me too.
Okay, so Danny is nervous about the opening night. He has the jitters. He has this like moment. It's like a
because now Xanadu is just done.
Yeah,
like it goes from they're kissing, and then it goes from like it's dull to Xanadu is complete.
Yeah,
complete with
opening night.
A sign, and it's opening night, girl.
So Sunny and Kira take a walk, and he says, "I love you."
He does.
And she loves him too.
She does,
but she has something to tell him.
I don't think she says "I love you" at this point, does she?
Oh, I thought she said.
Oh, they do. They do. Yeah, sorry, yeah. They say "I love you" to each other.
Yeah, and Kira says, "This has to stop
because it's starting to hurt."
Yeah.
So good. All I was sent to do was make Xanadu happen. I'm not as I appear.
Yeah.
And then it's my favorite line in the whole movie.
Please. Go into
I feel like I'm talking over you. I'm so
no,
sorry.
No, you're fine. No, this is fantastic.
I'm very excited about this movie. I'm not usually like this crazy, but like she says, "I'm a muse." And he says, "I'm glad somebody's having a good time."
That's good.
That's good. So stupid. So she says, then to make her crazier, she says she's the daughter of Zeus.
Yeah.
And then he kisses her to stop her from talking? Isn't this all the information he's wanted the whole time?
Yeah, he's like,
I don't know.
He's head over heels. He doesn't care. And then she has him read the definition of muse in the dictionary, and there's this weird television moment where she can control what the people are saying.
She's like, "Look, I'm a muse. I could do whatever I want."
Uh-huh.
Look up muse in the dictionary. He does, and it says, any of the nine sisters in Greek mythology presiding over art, song and poetry and the arts and sciences. Let me do that again.
Take two.
Girl, she said, it says, any of the nine sisters in Greek mythology presiding over song and poetry and the arts and sciences. And it also says, and do you believe me now, Sunny? In the dictionary. And then it cuts to the TV and she's in the TV. And then they start, the TV people, the actors start talking to him.
Yeah.
This is some shit.
It is. It really is.
And Sunny's like, what? They're in a, she's sad because muses are just meant to inspire, but she fell in love.
She did.
They're in a Xana dilemma.
Yeah, Xana dilemma. I love it.
So then Gene Kelly, the next scene is just that Gene Kelly walks up to Sunny on the beach in a random spot and said he's been looking for him. How the fuck did he find him on the beach?
I don't know. I have no idea how he has.
So Xanadu doesn't matter to Sunny anymore because there's no Xanadu without Kira.
It's true. He's feeling a little blue.
Because it's his muse.
Yeah. His inspiration Hello. Is gone. His love is gone.
She's a muse. Danny tells Sunny there's a way to get Kira back. And Sunny's like, how? And Danny's like, it's up to you. Like, he doesn't really offer a solution. He's like, oh, I just think there's a way. Oh my God. Sunny roller skates along the boardwalk and his legs look really good in those shorts.
Yeah. He's really giving it.
He's cute.
Yeah.
So he rolls up to the mural that birthed Kira and her sisters.
Yeah, somehow he knows that's the one.
He knows that he's drawn to it. It's like a magnet.
Yeah.
It's like he is drawn to it. And then the muses are back in the painting.
So they are.
Yeah. And he has a moment with the painted Kira. He's like stroking her cheek.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And then he stares again at the mural from afar. And then he skates rapidly right into the wall. And he goes right through it.
Yeah, it's like
Danny
a platform.
Danny was right. It was up to him.
Quarters. Yeah.
He, like, skates right into, like, you're going to hit the wall really fast, and he skates right. And this is another crazy ass.
Oh, my God. This whole, like, even just the way they were standing. So Sunny tries to negotiate with Zeus to allow Kira to come back or to be on Earth, like, permanently.
Yeah.
I would say.
He's, like, in this dark room, but he has, like, super dark room, and he has, like, a red spotlight on him. And then Kira appears on a neon orange floor.
Oh, that's great.
And then Kira tells him he has to get out before it's too late. And then he starts negotiating with Zeus. And then Zeus is like, no, you can't take Kira. And then Sunny won't budge. Sunny's like, I love her. We need to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Zeus is just a voice. So the voice of Zeus still is like, no. And then a female voice is like, rules are meant to be broken, dear.
Yeah.
And then like, what? Kira interrupts and is like, is anyone interested in my feelings?
Yes.
And then she recognizes that she has never had feelings before. Nor has she ever asked to leave this weird room with the neon thing.
Yeah.
Zeus doesn't give a shit. And he's like, Sunny, you're out of here.
Yeah. She just wants one moment, Kira. One moment.
Can I just have one moment?
Yeah.
And then Kira sings Xanadu's equivalent to Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Yes.
Called Suspended in Time.
Yeah.
It's another, I really love this part. I love this song.
It's beautiful.
I love Olivia, and her voice is so beautiful in this song. Yeah. And it's basically Hopelessly Devoted to You, but it's another really good, song.
It's a good tune, absolutely. And I do love at the end of Zeus says, maybe we'll just let her have a moment, or forever. I keep getting them mixed up.
Aww.
This is cute.
Then it's the Xanadu grand opening.
Finale, extravaganza.
Extravaganza!
So Danny leads everyone in the all skates, if you will. But then we don't see him very much throughout the rest of it.
So when I was watching this, I'm like, there's so much going on in this finale. There's so much going on in the grand opening of Xanadu that it reminded me of Stefan from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yes.
So I did a whole Stefan thing.
Yeah.
It's like, Xanadu has everything. Gene Kelly, jugglers, a roller rink, a Pat Benatar lookalike, a stage lit from the bottom, Sunny's coworkers, two black people, cocktail servers with branded jackets, Zoot Suit, people yelling Xanadu, an Asian lady, a high wire, parasols, an aerialist in roller skates hanging by her neck, one weird bearded dude in plaid, and Olivia Newton-John in human clothes.
I mean, that pretty much sums it up.
It's
yes.
just crazy
it's madness.
Town. And then Olivia appears as a person, like not a muse.
Yeah.
She looks so sexy.
Like, oh, yeah. She's
like
gorgeous.
At this point, I don't know if people had ever seen Olivia Newton-John looking sexy.
Sure.
I mean, maybe at the end of Grease.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
like,
that's
tell
like
me
the
about
iconic
it,
moment. Yeah.
But she looks like an actual, like, sexy lady here.
Yeah.
She looks beautiful. She's wearing a halter jumper with half harem pants.
Oh, love it.
And starts singing Xanadu. And she's mastered, like, the dance walk. So she walks from, like...
Yeah.
She walks from, like set to set, you know, the different people. And she looks beautiful and tan. And, like, she's, like... Xanadu is where I need to be.
Yeah.
I need to go to
Xanadu.
It's
a celebration. Get into it.
It's a place where nobody dare to go.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I thought it was over, and then there's this, like, hokey pink tap Pink Lady Tap Number is what I wrote, which turns into a Leopard Fantasy rock and roll number.
Yeah, there's a montage of Olivia.
Which turns into a country number.
It's so good. So the music, it goes from Xanadu. She's singing the song Xanadu, the title track. And then it's a montage of her, like, she's in this hot pink tap outfit, like you said. It's like the one Brittany Murphy gives to Amber Atkins in Drop Dead Gorgeous. Yeah, yeah, and then call back to another No Good, Very Bad Gay podcast.
I know, that's right.
She's in this leopard, like, rock chick fantasy with, like, I Dream of Jeannie sexy hair. And then she's in a cowgirl, like, white fringe jacket. And she looks good in everyone. This is where you can tell, like, she's not a trained dancer.
Yeah,
she,
a little bit.
She stumbles a little.
Sure, sure, sure.
But that production,
it's
crazy.
Yeah,
they're just like action, and all that happened.
Yeah, it seemed like it would be an event. It was an event.
It's a Xana moment.
It turns into like. It also, then there's like this space couture extravaganza, then into classic Kira with all of her sisters dancing around her, and then she disappears.
She goes back into the song Xanadu.
Yeah.
Swinging this metallic, like, Victor Victoria headpiece.
Yeah.
And she just looks at the camera like she knows you know she's the shit.
Yeah,
and she's like, now that I'm here. And it's so good. And she just rises. Her skin is dewy and flawless. She rises on an illuminated pillar. She's fucking out of there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, okay. I want to play a game with you.
Oh, please.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Ooh.
Peasant Kira. Victor Victoria Kira. Sunny.
Ugh. I would fuck Sunny. I would kill Peasant Kira and then marry Victor Victoria.
Oh my god, ours are totally different.
Ugh.
I'd fuck Victor Victoria because she seems just like fun and crazy.
Okay.
Marry Peasant Kira, but the one with the aqua.
Yes.
Because it's my favorite color.
Okay, got it.
Kill Sunny so I can fucking marry Kira.
I love it.
I love Kira. And then, like, everyone in the club disappears. Kira disappears. Sunny is alone in the club.
Yeah, he is.
And then there's a reprise of Magic.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not mad at that because that's my favorite. I think.
Yeah,
is that your favorite song in the. I mean, they're all good. Xanadu.
Yeah. What was the one, the opening?
I like the orchestration of Magic because it gives me that sexy ding, ding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
I like the first one during when the muses come to life. The very first
I'm Alive.
Song. I do love I'm Alive. It's catchy. And I do love Xanadu. I like a lot of these songs.
Yeah. I'm Alive is also a really good Celine song.
Yeah.
I'm Alive. And so are you. So all of a sudden, like, people reappear. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. Like, everyone just, like, there are 100 people in this club, and then they all disappear, and Sonny's by himself.
Yeah.
Then they all just start reappearing. Sonny goes to talk to Danny, and Danny's like, I'm gonna get you a drink, kid.
Yeah, but who hands them the drink? Him the drink. It's Kira.
Is it Kira?
I guess that's the thing that I wanted to talk to you, because he is excited to see her, but she doesn't act like she knows who he is. Did I say that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the last few lines of this movie, she's like, hold on a minute. He says, wait a minute. I mean, I'd just like to talk to you. Hard cut.
Hard cut.
I was like, what?
Hard cut. So we actually don't know if it's Kira because the Kira that we thought was in love with Danny, they didn't recognize it. Like,
yeah.
But she was sent there to make Xanadu. So was Kira there for Sunny or was Kira there for Danny? She was there for Danny, but then she fell in love with Sunny, right?
Wow. Layers upon layers, everyone.
It's so crazy. So here are so I reached out to Olivia.
Wow.
She hasn't gotten back to me yet, but she will. I know she will. Some of the questions I asked her.
Oh my god.
Were like, was the final result of the movie what you thought it would be when it was released?
Sure.
Because they were writing, like, as you said, they were writing it as they were filming.
Mm-hmm.
Her favorite song in Xanadu or any of the iconic outfits displayed. Plans for a sequel. And then one of them was, is the waitress at the end Kira?
Yeah.
Because it's really kind of, I mean, it's obviously the same actor, but is it Kira? And then where are Kira and Sunny today, and what is the legacy of Xanadu?
Ooh, I'm so excited.
I know. I hope she gets back to us. So maybe that, if she doesn't get back to us before this airs,
we'll
do a follow-up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up.
Xanadu follow-up.
Because she will. Xana follow. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I want to say Xana everything.
Xana.
I just think this movie is really fun.
It is a lot of fun. I mean, if anything, for the music that kind of carries it. Because if not for the music, it'd be even worse. I don't know. Not that it's like bad by any means, but like that, it really kind of gives it a little bit of structure, a little bit, or at least something to look forward to, because we want to see these numbers. We want to see Olivia do her thing. We want to see Gene Kelly do his thing. There's not really a supporting cast. It's just like, which kind of makes, I was talking about before, the other time I saw it, it was only like 8 people in the show, and you can really do it with 8 people, because there's really, besides just maybe filling out like the numbers, you know, it'd be obviously a little bit more of a spectacle with like a full cast. You don't really need it. No. So it does work, but it's such a fun movie, and I'm excited to really kind of revisit the soundtrack too. It's something I would definitely love to listen to.
The soundtrack was very popular.
It was very popular. I think more so than the movie. I think that's fair to say.
I really feel like when you watch this movie too, it's either songs you know or like real sing along bop songs. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, like, even I'm alive. Like, you're just kind of in it.
Yeah,
yeah. And if you're not, you're like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah, you kind of just have to jump in.
Yeah, you totally just have to jump in. It's really fun. I mean, I recommend watching it.
If you've had
a drink or two,
yeah,
for sure.
So I want to get into the tops and bottoms, the moments that you like the best, or if there are any bottoms. What are your bottom moments? Or anything you maybe would have changed for this movie, or something you didn't like, maybe?
I think that a couple of the scenes are too long.
Yeah.
I mean, that Jets and Sharks scene is...
I was going to say, it's that's a probably the long one that stuck out for me.
I think this movie would do really... I don't know the running time. I think it's like an hour 36 or an hour 46 or something. And I feel like this movie could have been an hour 20 easily. And I would have been... I think I'd be more content with it, because there are times where I just checked out. That's really it. There's really nothing... I mean, I don't think there's any way to make this movie more cohesive.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to really, like, start from the beginning. But we get the idea. I mean, the script, when, like, when Sonny flies off that pier and everyone just laughs.
They just laugh. Like, if anyone were to fly off a pier in front of you, that's such an 80s thing, too, right?
It is, kind of,
Because if someone were to actually fly off a pier, you're like, oh, my God, are they okay? And he just, like, walks right out of the...
Yeah.
He's like, nothing ever happened.
Let's get a cup of coffee. Let's take him to a hospital just in case, just to see if anything's broken.
Right. How's the bike? We don't even know what happened to the bike. So there are a lot of those things that are left unanswered, but it's a movie. Like, you don't have to answer.
It's easily forgivable.
I'm writing a movie currently, and one of the things that is written is you don't have to answer every question.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
It'll drive you crazy.
It'll drive you so crazy. I mean, I have so many questions about Xanadu.
Yeah.
and then yet I have like none, because it's like, all right, it is, I hate this term, but it really just is what it is.
I don't like using that a lot either. I don't like using that a lot either. But sometimes, it's like...
It is what it is almost the equivalent of at the end of the day for me. I hate that term too.
At the end of the day.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's such an insane movie, so crazy, but really fun and just exciting. Like you said, it's really watchable.
It is. It's incredibly watchable. I had a good time. With that being said too, what's your favorite part of this movie? And what's your favorite song? You asked me that question, but I don't think... Did you say what your favorite song was?
No, I feel like I want to say Magic, but then there's something about Xanadu.
There is.
That is just like...
Catchy. It's the one that sticks with you as far as the melody.
Yeah, and I just remember being in this club one time and they played Xanadu.
Ooh, I would love this.
There was a drag queen on stage and he just like went for it. And I have this like real like Pavlov's Dog association with that I just love.
Yeah,
I just really like love that song. So it's between those two. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the obvious answers, but that's the reality for me. I truly love every song in this movie, though.
Oh yeah,
there isn't one where I'm like I wouldn't listen to. I love all the ELO stuff. I also love Suspended in Time, the ballad.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie. Oh. Did you ask what that was?
No.
My favorite part of the movie is like, I really, a couple things. I love that it's a love letter to Los Angeles.
Yes, like you said.
And I love watching Olivia Newton-John.
Mm-hmm.
I think she really was a muse to me back in the day. So I watched this with like, I watched these movies like Grease and Xanadu, movies with her, movie musicals with her, with real reverence, because I just remember, like, I was a kid, like, watching these, and I just loved her, and I loved it. So just watching Olivia Newton-John and taking me back to that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching Grease when I was young. I think that was probably the first movie musical that I ever watched, because my mom was so into it. When they re-released it, I don't know what year that was, she bought, like, the special edition of course, for the you know, for the kids here, we had, it was VHS, and it was two VHS tapes for the special features.
Grease was?
Yeah, at least for the re-release of it. And I watched all the special features.
Yeah.
And I really love Olivia as well, too. She's fantastic.
It's so weird how much they unearthed for Grease. Like, how much weird footage and, like, you know, I mean, they have interviews and all that stuff. But for Xanadu, there's not much.
Yeah.
I mean, I
can't really.
I tried to do a lot of research other than watching the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's the same kind of facts, like Gene Kelly's last role.
It's all standard stuff.
They wrote it while they were doing it. It's all fun stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all, you can't really find much else about it. There's not that much. So it's really just the movie, and you don't have to go any further than that. Yeah. And I really recommend just watching the movie and having a good time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A really good time. And seeing the show if it comes to your town.
Yes.
The show is different.
Please go see the musical, yeah.
I got to see it on Broadway. I don't know if, here's something I was trying to think about. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever went to New York, I saw Xanadu on Broadway. So it might have been my first Broadway show ever.
Wow.
I saw like four shows that weekend. So it's one of those. And I think it might be Xanadu.
Was Carrie Butler still in the role, or was she?
She was, but I didn't see her in it. I saw understudies. Okay. So I saw Patty Murin, who's now playing Anna in Frozen.
Love it.
And I don't remember who the guy that was, but it wasn't Cheyenne.
Okay, it wasn't China.
And they were good. And then I have also seen the touring cast with Elizabeth Stanley, who I love. And she's, I've sat on the stage, which was a totally different experience.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So the way they do the stage, it's not really a thrust, but they skate around you.
Yeah,
if you're on, they have audience on the stage and they like skate right near you.
Yeah.
So she's like, it's so good. What I did learn about this movie is I need to modify my keys now. Because yes, it's not like when I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. I'm so glad that I actually got to do this in person with you, too. It's such a treat to be actually in the same room as opposed to Skype.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I intend to have you back for more movies, maybe some Grease too.
Oh my god, please have me for Grease too. Yeah. I promise I won't talk over you.
No, it's been so lovely having you.
Thank you.
And shall we go to Disneyland?
Let's go to Disneyland.
Let's do it.
Or as I call it, Xana Disneyland.
Oh.
Bye. Thank you.
So we have reached the end of our Xanadu episode, which is where I typically announce what we'll be covering next week on the Bad Gay Agenda, but I have decided to take a week off. Don't fret too much, because I'll be back the following week with a new host and, of course, a new film to cover, so be sure to check out the No Good Very Bad Gay podcast social media, which is where I'll announce what I'll be covering the week after next. So this concludes another episode of the No Good Very Bad Gay podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and leave a star rating if you like what you've heard today. Be sure to tell your friends and fellow No Good Very Bad Gays about the podcast so that they too can join the conversation. Be sure to follow and support the podcast on social media. Like I just said, I'll be announcing what's coming next, or the week after next, rather, what movie I'll be covering after my week hiatus. You can find the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Bad Gay Pod, as well as Facebook. You can also email the podcast at badgaypod@gmail.com if you have suggestions, questions, or even favorite bits for me to watch out as I watch movies from week to week. Thanks again for listening, everyone. See you next time.